taboos. He has traditional sexual ethics in mind, but is much too delicate to mention it. And discovering a new kind of life. A welcoming, yes, inclusive approach. The stone of legalism has been rolled away, and the risen body, the true spark of life and identity hidden inside each of us, can burst forth. And, well, of course, this new life must now infect all our relationships, all our social policies. Resurrection must become not a one-time event, imagined by pre-modern minds and insisted on by backward-looking conservatives, but an ongoing event in the liberation of humans and the world. Mr. Smoothtongue is on to something here at last, but he doesn't know what it is or why. What Pastor Gospelman never notices is that the resurrection stories in the Gospels aren't about going to heaven when you die. In fact, there is almost nothing about going to heaven when you die in the whole New Testament. Being citizens of heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, doesn't mean you're supposed to end up there. Many of the Philippians were Roman citizens, but Rome didn't want them back when they retired. Their job was to bring Roman culture to Philippi. That's the point that all the Gospels actually make, in their own ways. Jesus is risen, therefore God's new world has begun. Jesus is risen, therefore Israel and the world have been redeemed. Jesus is risen, therefore his followers have a new job to do. And what is that new job? To bring the life of heaven to birth in actual physical earthly reality. This is what Pastor Gospelman never imagines, though his preaching does accidentally often have this result. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is more than a proof that God performs miracles or that the Bible is true. It is more than the Christians' knowing of Jesus in our own experience. That is the truth of Pentecost, not of Easter. It is much, much more than the assurance of heaven after death. Paul speaks of going away and being with Christ, but his main emphasis is on coming back again in a risen body to live in God's newborn creation. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project, not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is about. That's why Mr. Smoothtongue's final point has a grain of truth in it, though all his previous denials make it impossible for him to see why it's true or what its proper shape is. The resurrection is indeed the foundation for a renewed way of life in and for the world. But to get that social, political, and cultural result, you really do need the bodily resurrection, not just a spiritual event that might have happened to Jesus, or perhaps simply to the disciples. And his insistence on modern science, not that he's read any physics recently, is pure Enlightenment rhetoric. We didn't need Galileo and Einstein to tell us that dead people don't come back to life. When Paul wrote his great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he didn't end by saying, "So let's celebrate the great future life that awaits us." He ended by saying, "So get on with your work, because you know that in the Lord it won't go to waste." When the final resurrection occurs, as the centerpiece of God's new creation, we will discover that everything done in the present world in the power of Jesus' own resurrection will be celebrated and included, appropriately transformed. Of course, when the muddled rector tries to make Easter mean liberation from moral constraint and discovering the true spark within each of us, he is standing genuine Christianity on its head and making it perform tricks like a circus lion, turning it into just another form of Gnosticism. Easter is about new creation, a huge and stunning fresh gift of transforming grace, not about discovering that the old world has been misunderstood and needs simply to be allowed to be truly itself. Romans chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and Colossians chapter 3 stand firmly in his way at this point. Hands up, all those who have heard one or other of those sermons. Thank you. How much did I win? now hangs up those who have heard a sermon that reflects what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8, or the evangelists in their final chapters, or John the seer in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, that with Easter, God's new creation is launched upon a surprised world, pointing ahead to the renewal, the redemption, the rebirth of the entire creation. Hands up those who have heard the message that every act of love, every deed done in Christ and by the Spirit, every work of true creativity, doing justice, making peace, healing families, resisting temptation, seeking and winning true freedom, is an earthly event in a long history of things that implement Jesus' own resurrection and anticipate the final new creation and act as signposts of hope, pointing back to the first and on to the second. I thought so. Thank you. This is James Langton. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Surprised by Hope, Rethinking Heaven, the Resurrection, and the Mission of the Church by N.T. Wright. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Katie Ostroker. Text copyright 2008 by Nicholas Thomas Wright. Production copyright 2018 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.